Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go into the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Now, I've been preaching these last few weeks, I don't know how long, but a little while, out of John chapter 16. And we were talking about Jesus saying that it was expedient that he leaves and he goes to heaven so that he can send the Holy Spirit down here to earth so he can be your comforter and your helper. And we've been talking about how that as you know, the church world goes, it's kind of interesting because everybody's split on the Holy Spirit. They're saying, oh, you know, this and that and the other and whatever. And we've talked all about that for the last few weeks. And you know, I hope I've made a good case here of the whole situation. You know, of course, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, but about that, it's ridiculous. If Jesus said that he's going to go to heaven, he wants to send the comforter, the helper, the person that's going to be with you, that's going to help you and lead you and guide you into truth. And we should want all of that. Amen. We should want everything God has and everything God wants to send. Is that true? If God is good, we want everything he's got, right? We want more of God and less of the world. Right? We want more of God and less of the devil. Hello? Somebody said, well, don't go there. Don't go there. And so, as I've been sharing this message and talking about it, I just keep getting more stirred and more stirred, and I'm challenging you because on June the 12th is going to be Pentecost Sunday. And I'm challenging because you got to understand something. When Jesus was resurrected, we went through this on Easter, at Passover. When Jesus came alive and he was resurrected and he walked with his disciples, it wasn't a moment. It wasn't just a flash. It wasn't a one time, just at supper that night that they saw Jesus. Jesus was here for 40 days walking on this earth after the resurrection. And on those 40 days, he talked to his disciples. He taught them. And the last thing, or one of the most important things, I don't know if it's exactly the last thing, but the last words we have written that he said was that he told them to go to Jerusalem, and that something was going to happen. They needed something that was going to take place in Jerusalem. Well, Pentecost was something that to every Jewish person, they knew the feast because every male was had to go to the temple three times a year and appear. You had to go to church three times. All right, everybody was required. You had to go three times. It wasn't just Christmas and Easter. You had an extra one in there. All right? And it was Passover, Pentecost, and then on the Day of Atonement, you had to be in church. And all three times, all males had to appear, and they had to go before the throne. They had to give an offering three times a year. Okay? And so, to every Jewish person, they realized that Pentecost was coming. Because after Passover, the next feast would have been Pentecost, and they knew it was coming. They knew Pentecost was coming. They knew that they were going to experience Pentecost. And what Pentecost meant to them at that time was that there was going to be, it was the time that the rains came, and the time that they were planting, and the time that they were, it was a joyful time. It was a time that, you know, like they had worked hard and they got the seed in the ground and the rains came and it was like, okay, we can sit back and get ready for the harvest. Right? It was a good time. And so come Pentecost Sunday, they went to church because that's what they did on Pentecost Sunday. Right? And so they went to church and they were just expecting Pentecost Sunday service. You know, I grew up in a denominational church that, you know, I was a smart young man. I had it figured out. On the days and the services were going to be short because there was going to be a certain thing. You know, communion Sundays were always a short Sunday. I knew that, you know, when they had different seasons of the year with the church service going to be one way or the other. You know, and I planned my events because all I was trying to do was hurry up and get out of church because the only reason why I was there because my parents told me I had to be. Now, heaven help us if that ever happens around here. But anyway. So then there was light. Actually, I'll just stop right now and do a commercial. Okay, we've been playing with filming, and now we're getting real serious, and now it's actually up on YouTube. If you go onto YouTube, you type in Robert Richards, or you type in Waterhole for the World, our YouTube channel will come up, and we're starting to put it out on the Sunday mornings. Jake is editing them, putting them up, and getting them out there. He's done a bunch of things. There's like rolling scriptures over here as I'm preaching and all kinds of cool things. Can't you see them right here? And so things are a little different. We're going through kind of a weird phase right now, trying to learn to deal with that and different things. But anyway, we're doing it because we're finding out that there's between 800 to 1,000 people per month going to our website, to our media site, and downloading the Sunday morning message and Wednesday services too. And so there's like another whole church that's out there that, you know, that we don't know anything about. So they finally talked me into, because I have a really good face for radio. And so they have finally pushed me and prodded me, and I felt the Spirit of God poking me. And so finally I agreed to submit to do some video. And it's just going over the website. So what will happen is that you can actually, either you can do it one of two ways. You can go on to your computer, and you can go to YouTube, and you can go directly to the YouTube channel and see the video there, or it's going to be directly linked to our website, and we hadn't quite got there. This next week we'll accomplish that, but it'll be directly, you just go to the website and pull up the waterhole.net, and then go in there, and you can see the whole thing too from there. So anyway, we're going to see what happens. We're going to see put a counter on there. It's really interesting because we're getting a lot of hits from a lot of crazy places. I don't think it's crazy when I get hits from Central and South America or Africa or Russia, because I've been in those places. But we're getting hits from the Middle East and all other different places. And so really interesting. So, you know, praise God. China, having some hits from China. So we're going to see what happens with it. So it's about getting people saved. Amen. All right, now that I did the commercial, let's go back here to Luke chapter 24. So Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking to him, and he says in verse 49, Luke 24, 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Now, when Jesus said that to the Jewish disciples, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Because the promise was of God, you can go find it in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Isaiah, where he talked about that his spirit was going to come on man. And God was going to take the stony heart out of man. He's going to put a new heart within him. And he was going to put his spirit upon him, and the spirit of God was going to dwell with man. Because always in the Old Testament, the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, only came upon the kings and the priests and the prophets, and it only came upon them temporarily. It only came upon the king for that moment of wisdom, or that prophet for him to prophesy, or something of that nature. It wasn't dwelling, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, like you now are the temple of the living God because you've been born again by the blood of Jesus. It was a completely different event. The Holy Spirit would just come upon him, and God's promise always was, is I'm going to put my Spirit upon you. Now, forever, the Jewish people had been raised up, and they always would be told this. Fathers would tell their sons would tell their sons, and it would get carried on that someday there's going to be a change. And God's going to put his spirit in us, and he's going to dwell in us. And they always waited for that day. So now Jesus says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to my Father, and I'm going to send the promise of the Father. Everybody say the promise of the Father. It was the promise of the Father to send his spirit, because God wants to be with you. Listen to me. The world tries to portray it that you're so bad, God doesn't want to be with you. I want to tell you something. No matter how bad you are, God wants to be with you. God wants to dwell with you. He wants to be in you. He's not forsaking you. The Bible says that you can go to the highest heights or the lowest depths of hell, and God's spirit's still there. God loves mankind. God wants to be with mankind, no matter how bad they are. Now, he's grieved at what we do, right? He doesn't want us to walk in those ways. He doesn't want us to walk in the ways that are going to hurt us and take him away from him. Right? He wants to be with us. He wants to fellowship with us. And so Jesus said, I'm going to go send the promise of the Father upon you. And he's going to come upon you. Well, they're like, okay. And they said, well, just go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, everybody say endued. That's not a word we use a lot. Right? You don't say, wife, endue me with my breakfast. You get slapped, you say something like that, right? It's just not a word. Now, endow, we do maybe use the word endow or endowments. We hear that word more than endue. The difference between endow and endue is not much other than the spelling. But if you go look it up and you research it, an endowment is something that's freely given, something that, you know, like it's can be a monetary. An endowment can be monetary, right? And money is transferred. But an endowment's a little bit different. An endowment in the actual word means to be vested or to be clothed or to have it actually come upon you. It's like taking a jacket and holding it for someone to put on, and they put it on, and then you fix it for them, and you make sure everything's straight, and you brush down the shoulders, and that person got endued with that jacket. They got clothed with that jacket. It got put on. That's what the word endued means. Now think about this. Jesus said, go tarry in Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem until you be empowered or sat upon or invested with power. Now, I don't know about you, church, but I need power. Think about it. I need power. I need power to resist temptation. Do you? Have any of you just wanted to punch somebody this last week? Hello, Cowboys. Come on now. Yeah? You needed endowment from on high. I say, Lord, help me, Jesus. Don't let me do what I'm thinking about doing. Right? See, it's not power like the movies want to take power and have fire shoot out at your fingers and, you know. No, no, no. It's power to live. Power to have the strength and the determination. Power to do what's right. Power to walk in the vision that God has for your life. Power to do what's right when you want to do what's wrong. Hello? We all need it. All of us need it. Power to live. Power to walk in godliness. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, when I got saved, there was a notable change in my life. I was really bad, so it was easy to see any form of change. Y'all with me? I mean, you know, when every word that's out of your mouth is a cuss word, you know, and I could spit tobacco about farther than anybody and love to fight, you know. Drink cold beer. And then all of a sudden, I don't want to do that anymore. And I'm completely changed. And I want to go to church. And I'm reading my Bible. And my friends say, what did y'all have? What are you going crazy? I mean, what's the matter? You're insane. What happened? You lost it. What, Robert? And I say, man. And I remember going to my friends. Because I'd still go to the party. Because they were my friends. And I would go to the party. But I didn't drink. And I remember sitting around drinking iced tea. Asking them, do y'all know anything about Jesus? And they would say, what? You can't talk about that now. And I was serious. I mean, they're my friends. If I don't have anybody else to talk to, and I'm trying to find out more about Jesus. So, well, y'all went to church. No, you can't talk about that now. And I remember my best friend taking me aside and saying, Robert, man, what is the matter with you? Something's got to be wrong with you. You know, you're okay? You got mental problems or what? And I said, no, I'm asking. Y'all are my friends, the only friends I got. So I'm asking, can y'all tell me? I'm trying to find out this about Jesus. Oh, they just, you know, couldn't handle it. So I knew there was a change in my life, but I didn't turn instantly good. My wife would say I still have a long ways to go. It wasn't that I just all of a sudden entered into sainthood and I was just like, when I woke up in the morning. No. I need power still in my life today to live for Jesus. I need power still in my life today to do what's right and to hear the voice of God and to walk in the things of God. We all do. And so Jesus said, look, I don't want you guys to be powerless. But I want you to go and I want you to be endued. Now, something about endowment is you can't do anything about it. Listen, you are endued or you're not. Are you with me? You can't earn endowment. You're either endued or you're not. It either comes on you, fell on you, got vested with, put on you, or it's not. A soldier who in a moment of battle when everyone would may turn and run and he does something extraordinary and they honor him. That's the same word. He's endued with honor. He did something, yes, but the endowment that came upon him, you can't endue someone with honor. You can give them a medal, but the endowment comes because of the honor that took place or what's been said or what's been done. Y'all with me here? I'm trying to tell you, you can't earn the things of God. You can only walk in the things of God. Listen to me. You can't earn endowment from on high. You just have to be at the place where endowment's fallen. So Jesus told the disciples, go stay in Jerusalem. So they all went to Jerusalem. Now they had so many days before Pentecost. So the Bible says they were all in an upper room in Acts chapter 2. You can read it. They were all in this upper room. They were all there in one accord and they were praying. They were talking. They were going along, just carrying on. And then the day of Pentecost comes. They just went to church because it was Pentecost. They didn't go to church because somebody said, today the Spirit of God's going to fall upon us. Listen, if y'all don't think I'm right, when we get to heaven, we'll sort this out. But I'm telling you, they didn't have it figured out. They walked right into church that day. They didn't think it was going to be any different than any other Pentecost Sunday they had been. They didn't think anything was going to be any different. They knew the sermon was going to go a certain way because it had gone that way forever. And they walk into church and God has another plan. And they got endued with power from on high and they didn't even expect it. I think Pentecostals spend too much time. Charismatics spend too much time. I'm throwing myself in the same bunch. Spend too much time trying to get God to do something that God's going to do if you're just in the right place where you're supposed to be. God's not going to be manipulated. God's doing something. You want to get in with what he's doing, get in the middle of it. And then it's just going to happen. Now, he said, you're going to be endued with power from on high, okay? Now, flip over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I've been challenging y'all all through this message. I've been challenging you, do something that you haven't done before. Read more than you've read before. Look to the day of Pentecost is coming into your life. It's God's going to do something new. Challenge yourself. Stretch yourself. Build yourself. If you don't pray with your wife, pray with your wife. Get one of the daily devotionals that we've got back there free in the back. Get hold of one of these things. Do it together as a couple. You say, well, I don't know. I'm not. I just do it. Goodness gracious. Well, they might think, what are you going to do? Your wife going to tease you didn't pray right? If she does, call me. Just call me. I'll call pastor if he sees me, but I'm going to pray. I don't care. I love our CMA guys, our Christian Motorcycle Association. They always tell me stories about going to these biker rallies and they're in the middle of the rallies. And, you know, there's all the guys from the Hells Angels and, you know, and all the bad boy bikers are there. And no matter what, they've always noticed that whenever they say, well, let's pray, everybody just throws their head down. Okay. Nah. Oh, that's bad. I let it go over there. You got to go be a real liberal before you're going to stand up and not want anybody to pray. bad guys all know they need prayer, so they go pray. But, you know, you got to be a real, you know, you got to go like to Washington and, you know, really get into that kind of stuff before you can want to stop prayer. So nobody's going to mess with y'all. You don't have to worry about that. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, it's interesting because he almost says exactly the same thing. He says, you shall receive power. The word power is dunamis. It's the same word he used over there in Luke 24:49. Same word, power, is dunamis. It's the word where we get dynamite. That kind of power, explosive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the word comes upon you is the same word that means endowment. It says you're going to receive power that is such power, it's like dynamite. It's explosive. When the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Then look what he says. And you should be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, when the power comes on you from what the Holy Spirit, when he endues you and comes upon you, then your life changes to where you become a witness for Jesus. In your house, your town, your state. That's about what that means when he says Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. In other words, everybody around you says something happened, something changed, what's going on in your life? It scares me when a Christian says he's a Christian, but nobody can tell when there was ever a change. Because we're not born Christians. You're born again a Christian. Hello? Well, he was always good. Well, listen, good don't cut it. You need to be saved. We're not talking about measuring good here. You got to be saved. You got to be born again. You got to have an experience where the power of God comes upon you and changes you. Now, like I said, I still got a ways to go. The day I get perfected will be the day I step over onto the other side. Hello? Bible says that when we see Jesus, then we'll be like him. But until then, you got Jesus living in a Robert. And the Holy Spirit is here to try to help me be more like Jesus and less like Robert. Hello? Isn't that right? But he says something's supposed to happen. Something's supposed to come upon you. Something's supposed to change. You're supposed to be endued with power from on high. Now, let me ask you this. Is it that we've not been endued with power from on high? Or is it that we forgot last Sunday's message and forgot to ask to be endued with power from on high? In Luke chapter 11, we looked last week at saying that Jesus said, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, ask. Listen, I want to tell you something. In my 25 years of serving the Lord, I want to tell you, I don't know that I've ever just woke up endued with power from on high. Like, I just got up in the morning, ready to go, charging the world. I saw everything right, everything. Woo, yeah. Now, I had to get up in the morning and say, Lord, today I'm going to go outside. I need help. Jesus. I need the Holy Ghost on me. I need some power. I need you, Jesus, come into my life and help me. And look, it started out that way in prayer and asking and receiving. Amen? Asking you shall receive, right? See, I think we get it all wrong. We just think, oh, I went to church yesterday. How come I don't feel happy today? You need another dose of the Holy Ghost. You may have wasted all that you had that one day. May have took all the dynamite you had in your pockets to make it through that day, and you need some new dynamite. It's a relationship. It's an asking. It's a living. It's a breathing. A walking, a everyday relationship with the Lord. You don't just get endued once and that's enough. you get endued and endued and endued and endued and filled and filled and filled and filled and stirred and stirred and stirred and stirred. Hello? You don't get saved and saved and saved. You just gotta keep getting regenerated. Gotta keep sticking your finger in the socket and getting filled up. Gotta have some go juice, right? And so Jesus told his disciples, look, you're going to receive power. Folks, listen to me. You should be experiencing in your life power. And if you're not, you've got to back up and say, what do I need to do? The first thing is you got to ask. The second thing you got to realize is you are going to receive something. It's called an endowment. The third thing is you got to understand is when this power comes upon you, listen, mountains will move. You say, well, Pastor, I prayed before mountains will move. You know what? You need to pray again. Maybe the first time you prayed, it just kind of shook enough to shake it maybe in its foundation. We've got to get out of the mentality in our lives as Christians that it's the Merlin the Magician or the Genie syndrome. Where you get the magic lamp and you rub the magic lamp when you're making your prayers and then whoof, the genie comes up, gives you your wish. It's called living a life endued with power from on high by the power of the Spirit of God that you have to walk and speak and look and even go back to the Scriptures and remind yourself of what Jesus said. Come on now, church. We've not gotten to the place like Jesus and his disciples where the story tells us Jesus sitting on the back of the boat asleep with his head on a pillow and storm came up, right? And the boat's pitching and rocking and going back and forth. And the disciples are bailing water and figuring they're going to drown and out in the middle of the sea. And so finally somebody, I don't know why they didn't just look around. See, this is what happens to us in life. Why didn't anybody just look around and notice that Jesus was asleep? He wasn't too concerned. And if this boat's going to sink, they're going to drown, he's with them. Nobody thought far enough to say, well, you know, we get wet, he's going to get wet too. No, I mean, it was all, they went to rational thinking. That's when we get in trouble in life, is when we go to, we convert to power thinking, word thinking, gospel thinking, and we go back to just rational thinking. We're going to drown, the boat's going to sink, and we're going to drown. I thought the Son of God was in the boat with you. I mean, they saw Jesus heal people. They saw Jesus do miracles. But they go wake him up and they tell him, we're going to drown. But isn't that what we do? We go to the throne in prayer and we say, Lord, don't you see us down here? We're going to drown. What are you doing? Because see, what happens is we've converted back over. We're not walking in power thinking. We're not walking in the endowment. We're not walking in the wisdom of the word. We're just going back into rational thinking. We're just Christians in the midst of the world doing rational thinking. And I want to tell you something. You'll always be defeated there. You will always be defeated when you get into that realm of thinking. Now, I'm not saying you don't think. I'm not saying you don't, you know, go to your job and you don't use logic. I'm just saying when we get into trying to figure out our lives, oh, we're never going to make it. Look at this thing. The economy's bad. Everything's bad. We're not going to make it. What if Jesus walked up to you at that moment, appeared, and said, as you spoke, be it done unto you. Hey, Lord, I don't want to say that. Wait, can I take it back? How many times in the Scriptures have you read where a person that was blind or came up to Jesus and said something, Lord, I want to receive my sight. He says, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Do you want Jesus to appear to you today and say, according to your faith, be it done unto you? Think about that one for a minute. Woohoo! But wait a minute. What's the difference between now and 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked on the dusty streets. Well, it should be nothing because he gave us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us to reveal it all to us. And yeah, we don't maybe physically see him with our eyes like we did then, but if he was here, you were not going to get there anyway. Do you hear what I'm saying? If Jesus is still alive here on earth today, you're not going to make it. The crowd's going to be so big, you're not going to get to the front. Would you? Fight your way up there, huh? You might do it, Jim. But you understand what I'm saying? He said, look, I can't be everywhere, but I can be everywhere by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what's the difference? The only difference is our faith in, well, we didn't see Jesus say it. Well, when did he give us his word? Hello? Y'all with me this morning? He wants you to walk in power. He says, I want you to be endued with power from on high. I want you to walk with dynamite in your pockets, mountains in your way. Get out. Light it up. That's what I'm looking for. He said, I'm looking for somebody that comes up to a fig tree that didn't produce it and said, you either going to die or produce. He said, well, that's just freaky. Is it? We're going to get to the other side, church. We're going to get to the other side and be standing and looking at it from heaven's perspective back. And you're going to say, oh, man, why didn't I believe him for more? We're going to do it. No matter how much you're believing for now, you're going to end up doing that because everything always looks clearer when you look backwards in hindsight. Hello? But all of a sudden now, Jesus is speaking to you, and he wants you to walk in power, and it's no different. And you got to watch it, because if you're going to receive in heaven, from heaven, what you're believing for, you better watch it, because I'm telling you, as Christians, a lot of times we're walking with doubt, not faith. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit tapping us on the shoulder and saying, no, that's wrong. Don't do that. That's why we need to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we get so accustomed to his promptings and his nudgings and his, woohoo! Hey, stop! Don't do that, Robert! Turn! Because we don't want to end up where we shouldn't be. And we need that power in our lives to come into our lives and to speak to us, and we need it to fall on us. Because if we're going to try to earn it, you're not going to make it. We need just to fall on us. To just be standing there in that Pentecost Sunday, and it just fell on them. They were just there. They just went to church. You with me? Okay, so you got to understand that he wants power to come upon you, all right? Now, let me show you this. Go over to Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to end up here, so just stay with me here. In Acts chapter 10, you need to read today the whole, you need to read all of Acts chapter 10, but for time's sake, I can't do it all. The Apostle Peter was up on the upper room and up on the top of the house and getting ready for supper, just like most men do. I'm going to go take a nap. Call me when supper's ready. And he has a vision. And he sees the Lord speaking to him and telling him that they're to eat these unclean animals. And he, as a Jewish boy, he's not going to do it. But then there's a knock on the door. There's some men down there, and they ask Peter to come to him because they're going to go to the house of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was not a Jew, and a Jew is not supposed to go into the house of a Gentile. But Peter sees that God's doing something. Isn't that interesting? Peter sees God's doing something. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's setting up a stage for something to take place. And Peter recognized it. You see, when God's moving in your life so many times, if you don't recognize it, if you don't put yourself in a position to see what's happening, the setup, you'll miss it. What if Peter had gone to the door and said, look, guys, I ain't going to no house, no Gentiles. I'm a Jew. I'm not going. Look, I don't know what y'all are talking about. You got to be of the devil because God wouldn't want me to go in the house of the Gentiles. So get on out of here, slammed the door in the face, went back in there and sat down and started telling all of his friends. I just had the weirdest dream. I was up there and I saw all these unclean animals coming and I was supposed to eat them. And I didn't, I mean, that's the weirdest dream. God wouldn't want me to do that. Does that sound like something we all could do? How many times in our life do you think that we have prayed for God to do something and the Holy Spirit set it up and then we didn't see it and never walked in it? Now, I want to tell you something right now. There's no sense having regrets of what you missed in the past, but we need to change so we don't miss it in the future. And that's what I'm preaching about. You got to see the setup. You got to see what God's doing. I mean, can you imagine Peter? He'd have missed the whole thing. I mean, what if it was written in Acts chapter 10? Like that. So Peter sat down and to eat and always wondered about the dream. No. Peter says, wait a minute. I was dreaming. I was just dreaming about unclean animals coming down and God speaking that to me and showing me that. And wait a minute. Gentiles, well, he's called them unclean. Now they're out there and they want me to come to the house. And, oh, God, you got something going on here. I don't know what it is. Makes me a little nervous because I've never been down this road before, but I'm going to go test it out and see. So the Bible says Peter goes to the house of Cornelius and he goes in there. It's got to be an awkward situation because Jews don't go in the house of the Gentiles. And so it's an awkward situation. He tells them the story. An angel appeared. He said that there was a man going to come speak to us and show us the ways of salvation. Peter said, man, I see God in this. So he preaches. He tells them about Jesus. And look at verse 44. Now, while Peter was still speaking upon these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who just received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked them to stay a few more days. He did it all backwards. According to church rules, he did it all backwards. According to church dogma, he did it wrong. You're supposed to get them saved first, then baptized, and then filled with the Holy Spirit. He got them filled with the Holy Spirit, then went ahead and baptized them, got them confessed Jesus after it's all over with. I love it when God just throws a monkey wrench in man's plans. I love it when God says, I will not be put in a box. When he says, you guys have got it all figured out already lined it up how this is supposed to be, and I'm just going to mess your doctrine all up. I'm going to look at the hearts of man, and I'm going to leap right in the middle of the hearts of man, and I'm going to get all over them just because I can. Oh, you think you got God figured out? You think you got it all lined out and figured out? Oh, yeah, I've been serving the Lord for all these years, and I got it all figured out. I understand. Yeah, this is how he moves. He's going to move like this every time. You better watch it. You better watch it, because he's just going to set it up to just do something that's totally off the wall to just mess your doctrine up. See, we want God in a box. We want God in a box. We want him to move and act every time the exact same way. That way we're in control of the situation. Did you hear what I said? That way we're in control of the situation. Because we like to be in control. Because if we're not in control, that means we're out of control. And we don't like to be out of control, because then that makes us vulnerable. And heaven forbid that we'd be vulnerable. Because when we're vulnerable, it makes us feel all icky on the inside. And that's right where God wants us, to be vulnerable. That's right where God wants us, to be right in the middle of trusting him with everything in our life. But you're not going to make it unless you've got the endowment from on high, you got the power of the Holy Spirit operating you, leading you, guiding you, directing you. He says he just fell on them. He got out of the box. He got out of it. He didn't do it all just the same. So the third thing you got to understand here is you can't predict how God's going to do it. You just got to be along for the ride. I want to see a show of hands here. How many of y'all, like if you're going to go somewhere, you're going to go on a vacation or you're going on a trip or you're going out overnight, how many of you pack everything and the kitchen sink? Raise your hand. Okay. Or your wife does. Okay, now, who's the other way? Who just could crawl in the truck and leave and you never even know what you got? All right, that's the other side of life, right? But if you go and you really think, isn't most of the packing all about convenience? Right? You don't want to be inconvenienced. Right? That's what it's all about. All I'm saying is you can't get everything in life arranged up and packed just like you want it to go off. Because that's only you in control of your life. I mean, you can't pray and say, okay, now God, next week, I'm going to need you to do this for me. Because all you're doing is trying to manipulate the situation to get God to do what you want him to do, how you want him to do it, when you want him to do it, so you come out looking the best and are not inconvenienced. I mean, y'all looking like at me like you're mad at me now. I'm just telling you the truth. Let's just be real. It's better to be vulnerable with God. It's better to be thrown on the mercies of God and just be vulnerable and say, Lord, I'm not going to make it through today if your powers of your Holy Spirit's not there to help me and guide me through everything. Lord, I'm not going to make it. I need you every moment. I need you every second of my life. I've got to have you in my life. I've got to have you moving. I can't teach this lesson. I can't go to my job. I can't function. Like I can't even drive the truck down the road, Lord. Whatever, I need you in my life. You have to be here with me. That's the better place to live, I'm telling you, church. That's the better place to live. Because it keeps you in a position of faith. It keeps you in a position of almost apprehension of what God's going to do next. It's a good thing, not a bad thing, to live like that with God. And to not try to get him in a box to work out everything that you need. Amen? So on this, I actually have a title for this message. If y'all are writing it down, I got 10 steps on the King's Road. All the time, God always talked about that there was a road that he was going to, a high road that you could walk with him. There's 10 steps on this King's Road. And the first three are the ones we've been talking about getting endued with powerful on high. Amen. So put your Bibles up if you would. And let's just stop for just a minute. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you really want all that God's got for you? What if it makes you different? What if you have to give up something? Ooh, cut deep on that one. I don't know about y'all, church. I just know that I figure God's got more wisdom for my life than I have for my life. Because I can only operate and function in what I know, what's been put in my brain, what I've seen, what's been logged in the memory banks of my mind. That's the only thing I have to operate with. I don't know anything else. I don't know anything else. I'm telling y'all, there's things out there in life that you don't know anything about. There's simple things that you don't know anything about. To other people are real simple. Right? To you, I don't know anything. Like to me, I mean, I have to admit my ignorance. I can't figure out how it works. My brain can't handle how my face is getting captured in that little bitty camera back there, and then y'all going to put it up on the internet, which what's the internet anyway? I don't even understand that. I used to kind of grab it when it was plugged into a phone line, but you don't even need that anymore. Are y'all with me? Oh, well, you know, come on, don't. My brain can't wrap itself around how did it work. Dig a post hole? Yeah, I got it figured out. Think of how many things you do in life that you just take for granted. You don't even understand everything. So many things we do, you guys, you know, when we're welding, you may understand the theory of welding, but most of us don't. We understand welding because that's how we were taught. We know that whatever metal we're working with, you put it use a certain rod at a certain heat and whatever, and it's going to work. And you just do it because it's always worked before, and you just keep doing it because it works. Right? You don't even really care about how the theory works. It doesn't make any difference to you. You just want it to work. Hello? You start your car, you don't understand everything about how the car works, but you drive it down the road and fully expect it to start, right? I don't even know if this is, you know, I don't even know how this all works, but I saw, what is the car? What's the electric car? Prius? I saw one sitting on the side of the road, and I thought, where's he going to go with this? He looked like he was out of gas, you know, and I just kind of chuckled. I thought, what do? Bucket of electricity, I guess we'll have next, you know. Need 5 gallons of electricity. I understand they do run on gas too, but you're with me? Things are changing. Technology's changing. I can't wait till they fly. Like the Jetsons. I've been waiting for that for a long time. I don't know how we're going to keep from running into each other, but they're going to be some fun. You don't know. You ain't got it all figured out, church. And what I'm saying to you is you got to make yourself open. You got to make yourself vulnerable. You've got to open yourself up to the Spirit of God. You've got to ask for the power of the Spirit to come upon you. You've got to ask for the Holy Spirit to come in your life. Whether you understand everything or not, I'm telling you, those are the first steps down the King's Road. You got to be willing to make those steps. You got to be willing to venture out. You got to be willing to walk. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit for years and you think you got it all figured out, you don't. You don't. You may just be doing the same thing you did 20 years ago, but I'm telling you what, there's a new day in your life. There's a new day in your life, a new day of God showing you something new. Are you willing to walk in it? That's what I'm asking you. Are you really willing to walk in it? Are you really willing to step out on the out of the boat in life and walk on the water with God? Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet if you would. I'm going to pray for you. And everyone, just take a moment. Just take a moment with the Lord here and bow your head or your heart or however you want to do it, but just take a moment with the Lord. And just look down in your heart and ask Him. Are you making yourself vulnerable to Him? Just begin to ask Him if there's anything that you need to be adjusting or changing in your life. I mean, today you may need to just open up your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart and fill me. I don't know where you are, but He does, and you do. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, you see every person in here. You see every heart in this building. And Lord, I ask you right now to just move upon them. That whatever they have need of, Lord, as they open their hearts to you right now, I thank you that you just begin to touch them. You begin to fill them. Lord, you just begin to line everything up and put everything in order. Lord, you begin to make the crooked paths straight. You begin to set everything into a place that they can see and they can walk with you. Lord, I pray that we be endued with power from on high. That, Lord, that everything that your Holy Spirit has, you'd pour out in our life. That we would walk with you like we've never walked before. So, Father, right now, Lord, I ask you just to touch every person's heart. And to show yourself real. And Holy Spirit, you just have your way in our lives. Just have your way in our lives. If I can have my prayer team come down right now and just be up here. Church, I want to pray with you. If you're here today and you need prayer, we want to pray with you. We want to believe God for miracles in your life. And I know some of you are probably headed out to the river and to be with family today. But I want you to know that God is still in the miracle working business. Amen. So take the hand of that person beside you. And Father, I ask you right now just to bless them. To just pour yourself out upon them and bless them. That Lord, this day, I declare that we're going to leave this building encouraged. We're going to leave this building strengthened. We're going to leave this building today endued with power from on high. And that Lord, as we go out there this week, every person we come across, we're going to be witnesses for you. And Lord, we're going to bless and we're going to encourage people to serve you, Jesus, all the days of their life. So Lord, we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, we're down here up front to pray for you.